Welcome to the 106th episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Rutherford. Stay tuned for my interview with urban fantasy novelist Allison Pang. Her latest novel, A Trace of Moonlight, is available in bookstores now. Stay tuned for the interview. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Allison Pang. Allison's latest urban fantasy novel, A Trace of Moonlight, is available in bookstores now. A Trace of Moonlight is the third novel in the Abby Sinclair series. Allison, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Great. Well, the first thing is, could I have you read the first three or four paragraphs of your new novel, A Trace of Moonlight?
Alrighty. I will go ahead and do that. The fog eddied from the darkness to cocoon me in a soft haze. Something niggled at the back of my mind as I glanced down at my bare feet. They were swallowed below my calves by the mist, but the crunch of sand under my toes felt familiar. The hiss of waves slapped against the edge of a nearby shore. The rolling scent of brine slipped past on a tattered breeze. Drawn toward the sound of the water, I pressed forward, an uneasy chill sending clammy fingers skittering over my skin. Wrapping my arms around my shoulders, I realized I was naked. And yet a moment later, a silk dress draped over my limbs, falling to mid-calf. It should have felt strange to know the merest of thoughts took shape here, but it didn't. My feet brushed the edges of the wet sand, and I paused. I could see nothing beyond the darkness, but the warmth of the water lured me, beckoning with a soft whisper.
Great. Well, if the listeners haven't heard about your new novel yet, A Trace of Moonlight, how would you describe the novel?
Well, it's definitely picking up from where the second one left off. So they're not really standalones. I would definitely recommend going back and reading the first two. So the second one, A Sliver of Shadow, ends with a pretty awful cliffhanger, which... the biggest problem here is that Abby, or my main character, has lost her memory. So with A Trace of Moonlight, where it picks up, she's basically dreaming, and she has no recollection of really who she is or what her purpose in life is. So, but as far as what it's about, I mean, like I said, it's definitely just an overall continuation of what is going wrong in her world and her situation. So I almost hesitate to say what it is because I feel like I'm going to end up spoiling the two books.
So no spoilers.
Do you
remember how the original idea for your character, Abby Sinclair, how you came up with that?
How I came up with her? She was sort of a mishmash of various things. I will get a lot of people who say she sounds very much like me. This was A Brush of Darkness was the first novel, and that was the first thing I had really ever written. So I guess that kind of makes a lot of sense that I based a lot of her personality traits and some of the things that she says are very much something I would say. Although I did try to break out of that. The more books I wrote, the more stories I wrote. In a lot of urban fantasy books, particularly the ones where you have like sort of the tough chick trope. I originally just wanted to create a heroine here who didn't have any initial special powers, and she wasn't like, you know, the chosen one. She's not some kind of rogue demon slayer or anything like that. So it's just, what do you do when you take someone who is for all appearances normal and plop them into a situation that is not? So
sure. So you just mentioned that your first novel featuring Abby Sinclair, which was A Brush of Darkness, was the first thing that you had written. Can you talk about that experience? What drew you to sit down and start writing a novel?
Let me kind of preface that a little bit because sure. sort of an interesting thing back in, I think a lot of writers were the types that, I wrote a lot in high school, or I wrote in middle school, and I always knew I wanted to be a writer, that type of thing, which is not really true. I mean, I definitely used to write. I would say that I was more of a reader. And then when I was in college, my degree is actually in marine biology, but at one point I sort of dabbled in getting a minor in English or maybe going to grad school for English because I was thinking, hey, you know, this might be kind of fun. And I took a bunch of writing classes and realized pretty early on that I apparently the kind of writing I do is not the kind of writing that most literary programs are looking for. And I basically came out of that experience and thinking that was it. I was just not going to be a writer and I was done. So I didn't write anything for about 12 or 13 years after that. I just went on with my life, you know, wasn't until I was around 32, 33. And what had happened was I run a forum for women gamers because I like to game.
what kind of games do you play?
Oh, I play pretty much anything and everything. It's mostly time limited now, but I generally like RPGs, probably most of all.
PC or Xbox or
both? Yeah, mm-hmm. I've got an Xbox and I've got PC, so you know it could be anything from you know Dragon Age or World of Warcraft or you know I think yesterday I picked up the Lego Xbox version of Lord of the Rings, so that's my
great.
My current thing there. So anyway,
my kids are dying to play Lego Lord of the Rings.
So. It's really actually very well done. So
that's good to know.
I'm pleased with it. Yeah.
But I interrupted you.
Started this gaming forum, and part of that, I guess, a lot of the members like to play these things called play by post games, which is essentially it's like playing D&D. But you're writing it out instead of sitting there around a table. So you have a character, you have characters, and then based off of things that happen in the game, you have to react to what other characters do. It's actually kind of a very interesting writing exercise because you don't have control over anything other than your person, your character. So you might have this great plot in mind that you want to do, and then you're going to have some other character completely upset that by something that they say or that they do, or the dungeon master decides to like throw something horrible at you. So
and can you just clarify for a moment when you say mm-hmm. play by post, are people posting that yes. online in an interactive
Yes. And it's not usually real time. I mean, most people don't have that kind of time. So you basically are in a round robin fashion. So character X will post something and then it's the next person's turn. And then you're supposed to wait until the next person goes before you go. Sometimes if you have a couple of characters interacting with each other, you might do a co-post, for example. Right. So we kind of go offline and write our thing and then post together.
The reason that I ask that is I guess I'm giving away my age. I can remember when I was a teenager that play by post was literally there were gamers around the US and other countries who would do it via mail, exactly what you just described.
Yeah. It's basically the same thing. It's just via forum.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Okay.
But yeah, definitely. So I initially wasn't interested in those, and then somehow I got sucked into it, and I realized that it was a lot of fun and that I actually really liked writing. So, you know, I would spin off and do little writing projects with some of the other members, and at one point I was working on a project that did not pan out, but in the meantime, while I was waiting, I figured, you know, why not go ahead and see if I could write something for real. And at the time, I was interested in getting published, so I had joined a number of, you know, online writing groups. I think I joined RWA because you didn't have to be published to be a member, and you know that you got all this access to all these great workshops and things. So I had signed up for a bunch of those. I wanted to learn about the process. And I needed something to work on in those workshops. A lot of times the workshops would be about, you know, editing or something like that. And I was like, well, I don't really have anything, so I'm going to sit and write something. And I did. So that's pretty much how it sprung. I just started to write bits and pieces of it for these various workshops, and it turned into a book.
That's great. So you said earlier that you're a big reader, and obviously, as you know, since you're writing in this genre, urban fantasy has really exploded as a genre. What is it about urban fantasy that appeals to you both as a reader and a writer?
Well, there's really almost like two forms of urban fantasy. Okay, the urban mm-hmm. fantasy that I grew up on, I'll call it the old school urban fantasy, would have been something like books by Charles DeLint, for example. Or Emma Bull, or even Tanya Huff.
Sure.
There's, you know, I kind of call it before Buffy and after Buffy, because I want to say that Buffy the Vampire Slayer, with her popularity, which is fabulous, sort of introduced this new trope of, you know, I don't know, kick-ass women mm-hmm. who could, you know, and after that, I think that the publishing industry kind of jumped on it. And I was actually just at World Fantasy Con a few weeks ago, and they had a panel on this. And it's very interesting to see where the line in the sand is drawn between, like, sort of the old guard not really wanting to be associated with this new type of urban fantasy.
Right.
Which they consider to basically been marketed, you know, a creation by the publishers to sort of market to women. So there's a lot of overlap between, say, paranormal romance in the new form of UF. So, and actually, Brush of Darkness, when I wrote it, because I was a member of RWA, was initially intended to be a paranormal romance. And then when I sold it, they had me change it into an urban fantasy, which meant, you know, kill a lot of the sex and get rid of the happily ever after and bring in another guy. And I was like, okay, well, sure, you know, whatever you want. So I don't know, as far as appealing, I mean, I like them because I can be kind of snarky and fun with them. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not serious books, quote unquote. So there's a lot of pop culture references and, you know, basically like the gaming stuff I do. There's a lot of gaming references. It's usually whatever I'm playing at the moment kind of gets right. dumped into the book in some fashion. So,
they made you kill the sex. That's not fun.
Well, some of them, I mean, some of the scenes were, let's just say they were a bit more extended than they are now.
Okay.
And actually that was really only the first book. After that, I mean, the second and third books still have some, you know, there's still sex and romance in them, but I definitely toned it way down. Right. Comparatively to the first one. So, yeah.
Gotcha. What is your writing process like? Do you have a specific workflow, or what kind of tools do you use? Is it just Microsoft Word or something else?
You know, I have tried. I've got Scrivener, and I think I tried Liquid Binder once. Honestly, the only thing that really does anything for me is just sitting down and writing. So Word is pretty much it. Now I do have online like index cards. I think Mandola puts out sort of a virtual index card. Mm-hmm. And I use that sometimes. I'm a panster, which means I don't really do a whole lot of organizing or planning or anything. I usually have a vague idea of what the story arc is going to be. I usually know how it's going to end. And then I just kind of throw my characters in there and say, go. We sort of see what happens. And, you know, I find that with all these other tools that require you to be more organized, it mm-hmm. completely, it's not fun for me anymore. I'm like, it just doesn't work. I've tried. honestly, the only other tool I have is something called Freedom, which basically disconnects my computer from the internet for a little while. Otherwise I, you know, oh, look, I'll just sit on Tumblr for the next 15 minutes. And that becomes, you know, 4 hours. Right. I haven't read anything. So, yeah.
So what are some books or authors that you've read in the past year that made an impact on you and that you would recommend?
I actually don't have as much time to read as I used to, which is really okay. unfortunate. I'm trying to think. I don't have my Kindle in front of me because I usually pull up whatever I've been reading there. But
I mean, I guess another way to ask that is what authors, either in the genre or outside of the genre, do you know? Is it kind of like one of those authors that you buy their book the first day it comes out or the first week?
Yeah, and I am traditionally like a high fantasy reader. Okay. Which is what I figured I was always going to be writing anyway. And so it's sort of strange that's where I am. But you know, I love Jacqueline Carey and Robin Hobb and Kate Elliott. And I like Charles Dillant too. Actually, he's one of my faves. So let me think. But yeah, I could name about a million of them. So
sure. So, given your career thus far in writing the three Abby Sinclair books, what advice would you have for aspiring writers?
I guess it probably depends on where they happen to be in their writing career, because obviously the biggest one is you need to write something. I have seen, you know, in my progression, I guess, a number of people who started out, you know, again, in some of these workshops, you create friendships and you kind of see where you're at, you know, writing groups. And there were a number of people who they spend a lot of money buying a lot of the tools. Like every other week, they're buying a new book on how to write something, but right. they're not actually writing.
Yeah.
You know, they're learning the concept, which is good to a certain point, but the only thing that's going to get you to where you need to be is to actually write and edit and write and write and throw it away and whatever you need to do. So, don't get so caught up in what the latest, you know, whiz bang gizmo writing thing is and sure. just sit down yeah. and do it.
Got it. What are you working on now? What will be your next book? Do you know yet?
What am I doing? Well, see, there's a short story that is set in the same Abbey world that actually will be out in August 2013 as part of the Carney Punk anthology. And if there are any fans out there and you are familiar with the character of Melanie, you'll know she's got this really cool magic violin, and there's always been these rumors of how exactly, you know, she got that violin, and you will find out. So that part should be pretty interesting. And actually, I've got a proposal in to do some spinoffs, and Melanie is definitely a character that I would like to delve into further, but I have not heard back on that yet.
Right. And who edited the Carney Punk anthology that'll be coming out?
That is Adam, my editor over at Pocket right now.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, he got the anthology. So it's a big mix of, you know, really great urban fantasy sure. authors. And so we're very excited about it. I am working on more of a high fantasy right now, actually, with some sort of steampunk type elements to it. So that's been kind of interesting because, as I said, I'm not really a planning kind of author, but with a large amount of the world building that I've had to do, I've actually had to start keeping notes. So that's a little more interesting for me. I do have an online graphic novel that is free called Fox and Willow, which you can find over at sadsausagedogs.com. And that's been a lot of fun. We update that about twice a week.
How long have you been doing that?
That's been out since about April. And basically, the overall story arc is about this mysterious runaway princess, and she's got this companion who happens to be a kitsune, which is, you know, a fox spirit or a fox demon. He's under a curse of sorts, though we haven't quite figured out all that. I mean, the reader doesn't know. I know. And each chapter is loosely based on a traditional fairy tale with some hopefully interesting twists and whatnot. So, although they're all part of the overall arc. So.
Great. Where can people find you online?
Anywhere. If you can't find me, you're not looking very hard, because I am on pretty much everything. But my official website is heartofthedreaming.com. And then I am on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Tumblr. I've got my gaming forum is still up and running, which is petalsandthorns.com. It's in the twilight years, but we're still there. Yeah, you name it. I've pretty much got something kicking around.
Great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Allison Payne, the author of A Trace of Moonlight. Allison, thanks for doing the interview.
And thanks for having me.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.